Hallelujah.
There is a deficit of capacity building that must come to the body of Christ in order to make up for that which is lacking in our faith. And God is releasing the grace for facilitators in this regard to be equipped and competent for the kind of training that is required in the body of Christ. To this end, we are going to be part of the training that Pastor just spoke about. Every young believer is entitled to pastor. As Jesus equips his functionaries in the fivefold, the sheep are supposed to have access to sufficient pasture for their nourishment. And God is already quickening that in the spirit of his servants, and we are part of that engagement. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We thank you for this great house that you have raised in this land to bring witness and testimony to your people in this region. As I labor under this house, I ask that you grant me utterance to add to that mighty edifice that you are already building in this place, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. God bless you. So yesterday we began to look at some introductory factors in the theology of clothing. Hallelujah. Some introductory factors in the theology of clothing. And I think the last scripture that we subscribed to was in the book of Genesis chapter 3. We saw the effect of the rebellion in Eden. How that Adam noticed that he was naked. And Paul says that if we are clothed, we will not be found naked. All right. Let's proceed. We may come back to the book of Genesis chapter 3 for a detailed study subsequently. But I'd like us to move to the book of Matthew chapter 17. And then we'll see the effect of the prayer that Jesus prayed in John. Because he prayed to be clothed. He prayed to be clothed of glory. Can you just switch off the microphone? The support? We don't need those other ones, man. Switch off. All right. I'm not within interference range. So if those mics are switched on. All right. Matthew chapter 17. So you stay with me as we do Bible study. Just stay with me. Amen. There is a lady that I met in Univen that came from University of Ibadan. In fact, I don't know how she looks like. Her name is Joy. Where are you? Oh, all right. There was now. Can I have one of the cord mics? Will that be better? The cord mic. Which one has the longest cord? I think with that we can avoid the interferences, because I want us to really go into the Bible this morning. Amen. So, Matthew chapter 17. What we are trying to study in the book of Matthew is the result of the prayer of Jesus. Just be patient. Let's get the microphone, even if you will need to. Is this movable? And so we can. Can you help me so that we can drop this pulpit? I'd like to be closer to you.
See, that's where the problem is.
Amen, amen, amen.
All right. Good. Hallelujah.
Now, so you can help me tune this microphone
properly.
Matthew chapter 17. This is the direct response of the prayer of Jesus. He prayed to be clothed. He prayed that the Father should grant that he comes into the clothing of the glory that he had before the world was. There were several possibilities that were... Can you hear me from the back?
All right.
Amen. So, amen. I trust that we'll have a mic that runs on VHS frequency, because this frequency is prone to interference. Before our next meeting, God will help us. Okay. Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his radiance was as light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us that to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, this is supposed to be a continuation of the scripture we left off with last night, Genesis chapter 3. Only that time did not afford us the opportunity to really look at the politics that was operational in the book of Genesis 3. We'll try to reach back to it as much as we need to. Amen. Now, you see, the theology of Genesis chapter 3 is what we call the rise of the colonial masters. There were two masters trying to colonize the earth realm. Two masters. And each of the masters had an opportunity to advertise. Now, the way God... Are you still with me? You see, this mic is better. Glory. Is this...
Amen. You know, those days in the 80s, Ahuja was the best mic. I don't, they say Shaw mic now, but I've not seen any Ahuja. Ahuja was, I don't know why they didn't produce wireless. They were so wonderful. Amen. So this sounded like Ahuja. I had to check it. Now, so what happened in the book of Genesis was that the colonial masters were trying to colonize the earth space. And the way God designed the territories of the physical realm was such that he committed the realm to the kingdom functionary called man. You see, I can show you a few scriptures to confirm that. One of them will be Psalms 115 verse 16. You might wish to check it. It's morning session, so we are not in a hurry. We take time to build. It takes a lot of building for people to begin to think in the scriptures. And when disciples do not think in scriptures, they are still vulnerable to the systems of this age. We need to see the way God thinks by expository revelation. Follow the sequence of things, and then God takes us to a point where we begin to think in the scripture. If you think that way and operate that way, it will be difficult for you to take a sinful decision. What does it read? The heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given unto the sons of men. That's a royal decree. You know, God operates on an energy level such that if he speaks, his words become law. See, that's what the Bible means when it says God is not a man that he should lie. The meaning of that doesn't mean that God is decent. Even though he has the ability to lie, he doesn't lie because he's decent. No, that's not the meaning. Even though we know God is decent, but that's not the meaning of that scripture. That scripture means that anything that God says becomes true. That's why, as humorous as Jesus was, Jesus never cracked a joke. Because if Jesus said, see your big head, your head will become big. It will become everything he says. So he doesn't use words the way we do. In maturity, as we begin to mature in God, we begin to talk like God. We begin to use words the way God uses words. Right? Are you with me? And so God gave a royal decree and says the earth he has committed unto the sons of men. So by that decree, and since God created man as a free moral agent, it will be by man's free will that he will adopt the influence that will superimpose his power upon the face of the earth. On the strength of that, there were two possibilities. There were two such possibilities. Either God or Satan. So God came in the book of Genesis chapter 2 from verse 13 to 15. You will see God's proposal of how Adam should function. Of how Adam should operate in the Garden of Eden. And there were five symptoms of God's counsel to Adam. That's not the subject, so I'm not going to go into the five symptoms. Those five symptoms actually reveal the character of the Lord's voice. You know, there are so many voices in the human soul. And sometimes it's difficult to articulate which is God's voice. Those five symptoms will give us insight into the kind of voice that God has. And those were the five things that God told Adam as instructive insight as to how he ought to operate within the garden. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, we see that Satan came and also made his own presentation. That was what we read yesterday. Are you still with me? Alright, so Satan came and made his own presentation. Maybe we'll look at the presentation of Satan before we come to the book of Matthew chapter 17. Because there's a key word in that scripture that correlates with this scripture. And if we lose the sequence of of truth that gave rise to that keyword, we might not understand the gravity of his implementation in this new space. Are you still there? Genesis chapter 3. Please stay with me. It's a long journey. We just began the journey yesterday, and it's where we are now is far from where we are going. Alright? But we need to build that way so that you can, the gaps in your theology can be filled. If the gaps in your theology is not filled, there will be defective operation of your faith. If demons come to question the authority behind your faith by several circumstances and situations, you might be found wanting, and you may not have enough insight to keep on believing. And if the devil can puncture your faith process, he can actually affect your influence upon the face of the earth. Okay? Now, in Genesis chapter 3, before we come to the book of Matthew chapter 17, first of all, we see that Satan had a lot of options of what creature to possess in order to make an entrance, a presentation of himself in the Garden of Eden. But of all the creatures that were available to possession, Satan decided to possess a serpent. He came in the body of a serpent. The first question is why? We are still talking clothing. You stay with me. He had a wide range of possibilities. And I don't know, for those of you that know how to drive, I don't know if there was any one of you that ever drove a Volkswagen Beetle. That was the most common car in the 80s. None of you drove a Beetle. Oh. Even you that... Okay, you never drove a Volkswagen Beetle. You see, the Volkswagen Beetle, I don't know how it was designed, but it has a strange kind of gear, the gear system. In fact, for you to engage the gear, there's a rejection sound. It means the gear has its own wheel. It's telling you, you are trespassing. It gives you... And after engaging the gear, the relationship between the throttle and the acceleration is something that the Beetle also regulates. So even if you put your feet on the throttle and you are trying to engage, the movement you are going to see is independent of your effort. Alright? But when you see cars like, what was that Benz that we saw? That Benz your brother bought. What's it? Okay, CL4. Okay, CLK 450. That's V8. That's V8. Okay. That vehicle now, if you stay in it, in fact, when you begin to go beyond 80 miles per hour, alright, the seat belt will adjust itself. That is, you didn't do anything to it. You are using the seat belt, but you are not going 80 miles per hour. The thing knows. So it adjusts the seat belt so that if there's any impact, the only motion you will feel is just like this. Your head won't even go. See, two of these vehicles are vehicles. Now, the reason why I got into this vehicle theology is because to tell you why demons like possessing people. Demons can possess trees. You must have heard that witches hold some meetings in trees and all of that. Demons can possess cats. But you see, when they possess people, they have the best expression. The humankind is like an unfathomable computer that gives Satan so much expression. A little demon driving this computer is capable of much. Right? But you see, when a demon possesses a cat, for instance, it's like a beetle. Is in prison. He doesn't have so much expression other than the ability to make you afraid. And but when it possesses humankind, it has powers of flight, it has brain capacity, it has strategy capacity. So much can be done through one agent that is possessed of the devil. My question is, why is it that Satan chose to possess a serpent? That's where I'm coming from. Because the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 3, are you with me? You are not with me. Stay with me. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, you see, the scriptures gave us some background information about the ability of the serpent. And the serpent was the chief creature to be considered if the advantage you are seeking is subtlety. So the serpent is even more advanced in its nature of subtlety, much more than humankind. So you will know that the serpent needed a creature that if he possesses, he will have so much capacity of subtlety, because the mission that he wanted to embark upon required that his objective, his purpose, must be concealed as much as possible. Subtlety presents a face that is different from the objective behind the mission. You see, some of you are 30 years old, some of you are 24, some of you are 25. But you see, the devil has been tempting you for 25 years, for 24 years, and he has been succeeding. Meanwhile, you just study for 5 years and you become an engineer. You study for 4 years, you become a graduate, a chemist. You study for 6 years, you become a medical doctor. You get used to medicine. You can see patients. You can make prescriptions that will be accurate upon just 6 years of study. But you've been with the devil for 25 years and temptation is still working in your life. How is that possible? It's subtlety. You are not with me. He will tempt you, fornicated at 12. You are also, he's still succeeding at 18. Because he came under an influence of subtlety. So you may not foresee where he's driving at based on his approach. He has concealed all of that in the body of the serpent that he possesses. And if you check the scripture, you will find out that the devil is almost always identified with the serpent. Because in his engagement, he needs to sustain the orientation, the possibilities around the corridor of subtlety. So the Bible says that the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field which alone God had made. That's why he chose. You see, when the devil comes under the cloak of that subtlety and he says good morning, what he means is not good morning. But that's what you get. That's what you see. You see somebody exchanging pleasantries. But it is deeper than good morning, because he's coming in the coat of a serpent. But Adam did not know that. Adam was a plain being. And this was the proposal that he made. Secondly, you will see in the conversation that took place between the devil and Adam and Eve that the devil doesn't know everything. So he came with a questionnaire, hoping to update his data bank. He said, did God say that you should not eat of every tree in the garden? He was not sure of what it was that God came to tell Adam. It's just like when you watch a video and there's no audio, a film, and there's no audio, you cannot understand the storyline. Is that true? Now, so I think that God came to Adam and was telling him about the fruit. But the devil was seeing it, but he didn't have audio. So obviously he was able to deduce that God was forbidding him from eating probably a particular fruit, or maybe all the fruits. So there was a gap in his insight. And the devil cannot successfully attack you if there is a gap in what he knows. Most times what he does is that he needs you to help fill in the gap so that he can now attack you. Just in case the devil attacks you successfully, you aided him to design the weapons that was formed against you. So he came down, you see, he stopped it. He's actually looking for tools to forge a weapon. But he didn't look as though, because he came in such a polite way, such a wonderful way, and he approached Eve and said, "Did God say you should not eat of any tree in the garden?" I don't want to go deeper, because we can actually go deeper on this subject. But if we do, we might get lost in talking. Because why is it that it was Eve he addressed? Because Adam was there. But it was Eve he addressed, not Adam. Meanwhile, the Bible says in the New Testament that it was not the man that was deceived, it was the woman that was deceived. So the woman's error was deception. The man's error was rebellion, because he was awake and aware. That's for another day. Hallelujah. You don't want to answer again? I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Without any intention to demean the sisters in the hall, I need to say that by your wiring as a sister, you are very susceptible to deception. It's very easy to deceive. And if you meet people that have had a lot of dealings with women, they almost know that they can take you. They almost believe that any of you can be taken. It is because of this that God did not make a woman the head of the home. Let me stop there. I say with due apologies, so that you will not come for counseling. That's why. As vast as you are in the spirit, you are still easy to deceive. And so the gift of headship was not committed to the woman. In terms of gifting and capacity, the woman is more gifted. I can prove that from the scripture. The woman is more gifted, but she is easily deceived. And so that whole endowment can be used to adorn the kingdom of darkness very easily. So when you check people that are possessed, people that have demonic strongholds upon their lives, the number of women are likely to be more because of the fact that it's easier to deceive. That's about their wiring. Are you? That has to do with wiring. Are you still with me?
Yes,
sir. See, and that's why headship was committed to the man. Now, headship is not an advantage. Headship is not an object for tyranny. Headship is a responsibility that is administered by wisdom. Headship is a call to priesthood. It means God is making you responsible for a set of people. Just like if you are called into ministry, the pastor is going to be responsible for a set of people because of the headship that he carries. His intercession for those people will be more potent than if anybody in the congregation prays for the people, because of headship. So headship gives him a position of favor in priesthood to be able to move the hand of God on the account of the things that are committed to him. Are you with me? Now we are going to look at, when we start the apostolic training, we are going to look at structure for a long time. That is from my own quarter. Structure. Then you see how the devil pollutes ministry, pollutes family, pollutes a nation. It's just from structure. Just like what our president is doing now, he's polluting the entire nation. And it's affecting everybody. It's affecting you, whether you know it or not. As a man sitting in the capacity of headship, he went for a UN Congress and they were voting whether or not Jerusalem is the headquarters of Israel. And then the foolish man went and voted no. You might think I'm insulting him. No. It is foolishness for you to stand against Israel. Then we have more than 3,000 years of history to confirm that foolishness. That everybody that rose against that nation, they suffered. And what part of what we are going through now is based on that little vote. Oh, you don't know. Oh, okay, let's leave that. I can't help you. When God is dealing with, when you deal with the church, you are dealing with grace. So God can extend the time of your judgment. But when you are dealing with Israel, you are dealing with law. There is instant judgment on your decisions about Israel. Instant. Most of the things, that's why we have prayed for Nigeria in this season. That's why it seems as if nothing is happening. We need to do more than prayer. Because we have touched the apple of his eye. And that is not all of us that did it. But there was somebody that occupied the headship that did not manage headship with wisdom. So we'll see how the devil can pollute a place and what the spirit of Jezebel is about. Because the spirit of this Jezebel is raised up, it's a facility raised up from the kingdom of darkness to compromise anyone that sits in the capacity of headship and to tilt them out of alignment. That's it. Jezebel must have something to do with power, with headship. Yes. Without headship, Jezebel doesn't exist. Are you with me? Now, so I just digress there. It's a whole world of. So he addressed Eve, not Adam. You see? The God said that you should not eat of every tree that's in the garden. He was actually confused. He didn't know what it was. And then Eve now helped him to update his data bank. Say, no, it's not everyone. It's the tree that is in the midst of the garden. For God has said we should not eat it. Neither shall we touch. Should we touch it? Now, in the discipleship that God gave Adam, in Genesis chapter 2, you will notice that what Eve said was not what God told Adam. So in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, we can actually identify the symptoms of the voice of God, the symptoms of the voice of man, and the symptoms of the voice of the devil. Because God did not tell Adam that he should not touch it. But it was Adam in his own zealous discipleship that told the woman, don't eat it and don't touch it. It's Adam that added that. That's the voice of man. And the Bible says that we make the word of God of null effect through our tradition. So Adam added a tradition to the voice of God. And one of the reasons why Eve could believe the devil was because probably one day she was passing by and she touched the stuff and nothing happened. So she had a vacuum. Her faith became defective. There was a gap. You know what I mean? Now, so that's why we have arrived the corridor of the mosaic of the apostolic. And what I mean by that is we have started with the responsibility of delivering the scriptures the way God ordained it, without the infiltration of human tradition. It is that human tradition that was added that seems to make the word of God not to be credible. A time came, a great teacher rose up and told us that holiness was about a dress code. And people actually succeeded to dress that way. But they were not any closer to God. They succeeded. Because I succeeded. And that was when I was operating with the lying spirit. But I looked pious, sanctimonious, and sacramental. I knew I was fake. But everybody felt, since I had the code. So those of us that practice, it had to go look for God and find out what holiness was. But if something was added, that's what happens when you add something. You are not with me. Okay. Well, when we start the apostolic training, we'll have to go deep into. Then you find out we need to extract what is the word of God and then leave out what men added. And meanwhile, that teacher, we hail him. In fact, in our own opinion, he has paid his dues. He has paid his dues. When, from every standard. For as long as he has lived, have you ever heard that there was a scandal, there was a woman that he touched? Have you ever heard that any money was misappropriated? Have you ever heard that anybody, even the most vile of people, called him and said, the way they are insulting many people today, have you ever heard any of those people He has paid his dues. However, we still need to extract out of the pudding that human additive that was brought into that doctrine. That it's our own generation. That's our work. Now, see, don't do what you are not licensed to do. Some of us, that's our calling. We are customer officers. We know how to identify contraband. Are you following? Without, and we separate the person's doctrine from the person. See, the person is correct. It's our own. It's in fact one of the lights of the land. But he doesn't have authority to add to the creed of God's word. So we have to separate that. If not, another Eve situation will arise from that error. It has already arisen. So, but we can put it where it belongs by bringing the balance. You see, so we are going to look at the voice of man. And that's what we see in that particular portion. Are you with me?
Yes,
now, you see, humankind can actually influence a lot of things. Sometimes there are people that receive from God, but they refuse to speak. Just like Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. When he encountered Gabriel, Gabriel told him that your son will go in the spirit and the power of the prophet Elijah. Obviously, he did not tell his son that. And so when people came to inquire of John, are you Elijah? John did not know. That's also a human error. It's a human error of omission. He didn't know his identity in scripture. It was because of that error that the Jews did not accept Jesus. Because they knew that before the Messiah would come, Elijah would come first. And John the Baptist did not know that he was Elijah. It's a scholar so from the universities of theology that came that because they are sons of the prophets. They believe that anybody that becomes remarkable and significant in Israel rose by the hand of God. And they need to trace where that person is in prophecy. John the Baptist did not know what scripture he was fulfilling. He didn't know his identity in prophecy. He just knew the authority of his ministry. I am the voice of one. So we are going to do a lot of that in our apostolic training. Pastor is going to launch it. And then we'll see how we can be part of it for the building of the people of God. And it's a whole lot of job. It's a whole lot of job. Now, when the Eve provided the information that the serpent was looking for, then the serpent knew how to now manipulate. And this was his presentation. Genesis chapter 3 verse 5. Can you see the skill of the serpent? The skill of the serpent. What did he propose? What did he unveil? He said, God doth know. 1st of all, he discredited the justice system of heaven by saying, verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, because from heaven's justice system, the consequence of violating the word of God was that man was going to experience death. In fact, the way it is in Hebrew is that in dying ye shall die, unveiling the fact that death was a process. Death in that regard was a process. That would be, right? Not just an event, but a process. You will notice that immediately after the fall, people like Methuselah could live up to 900 years. And there were even Adam lived 9 something. You know? And the Bible says that a day with God is like 1,000 years. Is that true? But humankind could no longer fulfill a day before God. They would get to 900 and something, but they could not get to 1,000. Meanwhile, a day with God is like what? So, you see. And then, by the time you get to the book of Genesis chapter 6, life expectancy was already getting to 120. And just in case you are from Lagos, life expectancy now in Lagos is 54 years. You see, God will help us in Jesus' name. Now, you see, the further away we went from the tree of life, it's a process. But that's just one layer in the process. There are many fabrics of the process of death that was initialized by man's rebellion. Right? So, Satan, first of all, discredited the justice system of heaven by saying, ye shall not surely die. It's not as serious as you think. Just like any preacher you hear telling you that fornication is not as serious as you think. He's trying to help the devil bring you to a point where you are comfortable with it. And when you become comfortable with it, a spirit is involved. You might struggle with it all through your life. If a spirit is involved and you stay in fornication, there are about 8 consequences you are going to have. As revealed in Scripture. And Paul was very careful to unveil the scope of your dilemma. If you did not live there, Satan will not have that level of authority on your life. So, first of all, what the devil does is that he comes to trivialize the justice system of heaven so that you can live with it. then it's better heard than experienced. That's the first thing he did. And then, secondly, Satan unveiled something. He said, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall become wise as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan now told them that eating that fruit was going to be the gateway to accessing a kind of knowledge that was not in the lexicon of the divine. That was the gateway to all vile knowledge. That's where witchcraft came from. That's where necromancy came from. See, that kind of knowledge is not supported by the divine life, the divine ecosystem. And as far as God is concerned, he is not expecting you to have that kind of knowledge. But you see, Satan came and advertised that knowledge and the violation of God's law being the gateway into that possibility. See, why is it that it was easier for humankind to subscribe to Satan's proposal? Was Satan a better salesman than God was? Because God also had his own time for his own proposal. And what was happening there was that the colonial masters were presenting papers to the custodians of the earth to choose their lines of development. That war is still on. It's still on with you. It's still on with me. The two colonial masters are still suggesting. That was how I was preaching to a couple. They were getting married. This was the scripture that God gave me to preach to them. And I told them that they are colonial masters seeking to colonize their home. I told them about the symptoms of the voice of the devil. I told them about the symptoms of the voice of God. I told them about the symptoms of the voice of man, because some men too will come and speak. And I didn't know why God told me to preach that message. It wasn't a sweet message like that. It was very instructive. And I wonder why God was bringing so much instruction. The marriage lasted for 6 months. Obviously, they didn't hear what I preached. And just like Adam, they chose the suggestion that came from the devil. And then now they are exposed to a knowledge. Well, the Lord, let me. There is a knowledge that you're keeping your home is going to shield you from, is going to insulate you from. There are some possibilities that Satan will advertise, which, if you are within the confines of a working home, you'll be shielded. So Satan has a knowledge that is advertised. And you would need to stay under the government of the instructions of God in order for you to be shielded from that knowledge. Now, one of the things, the first consequence of Adam partaking of that fruit was that he now knew that he was naked. You will realize that when God... Are you with me? When God showed up, God... Meanwhile, I wanted to ask, are we taping this?
It's been taped.
How are you taping it? There's a computer there.
Oh, glory.
I wasn't seeing the computer, so I was wondering. Amen. All right, stay with me. Sorry, I'm preaching by inspiration. I've lost my connection. Where did I stop? Can one person talk, please? Just one person. Yes. The consequence of... The man knew that he was naked. So you notice that when God said, "Where are you?" And he said, "Sorry, I hid myself because I was afraid. Because I'm naked." See, that word was not in God's lexicon. So God now said, "Who told you that you were not supposed to know anything about nakedness? You were not supposed to have the... You are supposed to know that it's something like fornication, but you are not supposed to have an experiential knowledge of it." Because he ate it, so he had the knowledge we are talking about here is experiential. He ate the thing. Right? And you are supposed to know there is something like fornication, but you are not supposed to know it experientially. Because when you know it experientially, there are several dimensions of knowledge that are going to result from that experiential knowledge of something that God is shielding you from. His nakedness came, the knowledge of his nakedness was as a result of that rebellion. It means that a new knowledge bank has opened for humankind. A knowledge that is not regulated by the government of God. Now, are you with me? Don't worry, we are going to pray. It's just in case you have tapped into a knowledge bank that is not ordained by God for you. It is one of the prayers we are going to pray for purging this morning. For some of you, your subconscious has been overtaken by the enemy. And when you begin to engage prayers, pictures, strange pictures begin to appear. So that the devil is trying to stop you from spiritual engagements. See, the Holy Ghost will edit those pictures.
Amen.
Knowledge? You know, I work in the oil industry. The system is programmed to make sure that you are unfaithful to your wife. That's the ideology. Because they will post you to a place where your wife can't be following you every time. So, you see, you have to settle somewhere, okay? And the industry has women to help you. Oh, Jesus. And you don't have any idea. I'm talking about women that is as if they brought them out of leather bag. With no blemish, no guile. Jesus. There is a way to resist sin even if you are close to it. If you are not properly trained, you are not ready for this world. They're not ready. Not everybody was lucky. Some people, when they tried sex for the first time, they came down with HIV. Your prayer point changed. Don't use your life as an experiment. Don't use your life. I knew at the age of 13 because I had several, you must have heard it with my tapes, I was supposed to die at 13 years old. Okay? There was a warfare that took place. I even saw the angels that fought. There were four of them. After the fight, they now told me that, you see, now they won the fight. So my years have been extended. But I don't have any time in the world. That means if I check into Egypt, if I use a multiple entry visa to access Egypt, I've plotted my life out of time. There are several things that if you know, you will not give the devil the ground that he will exploit for the next 15 years in your life. But just in case you have gone to Egypt with multiple entry visas, this morning we are trusting God that purging and editing will take place.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Notice the chief word here, the chief word that I want to tap from that scripture is afraid. I hid myself because I was afraid on the account of my nakedness. That's the word I want to pick. However, I said this morning that I was going to tell us why the meaning of God's question, Adam, where art thou, is deeper than what you think. Are you with me? So I'm going to take you, we'll digress so that I can answer that question, because I already promised you that we do that. Then when we come back from our digression, we'll go back to the book of Matthew, then you will see the progression. With the key word in mind, afraid. The key word is what? Afraid. Don't forget that. That's the first consequence, the first thing, the first realization. That's the first time in the history of humankind where fear gripped our fathers in the flesh. Those were Adam was, when we're yet in the flesh, Adam was our father. Now, are you with me? Alright, so let's do a scripture. We want to digress. The reason for our digression is to find out the full import of the question that God asked Adam, where art thou? We are still talking clothing, and you will see how it comes up. Let's do Psalms 82. Psalms 82. Psalms 82. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's standard in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth amongst the gods. How long will he judge unjustly and accept the presence of the wicked seller? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Now, you see, the Bible says that God is God's standard. Amen? God's standard. First of all, I need to tell us about the structure of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is such that God doesn't need to stand to do anything. He rules by decrees. So he sits on his throne and he issues decrees, and those decrees are carried out by ministering spirits to see to its effect. Okay? So he doesn't need to stand. In fact, there are two times in scripture, just two times, that the Bible reveals that God was standing. This is one of them. And the two times that God stood, he stood because of the same reason. If you check this scripture, you will see that God was standing because of the congregation that gathered. What did he call them? The congregation of the mighty. God standing in the congregation of the mighty. Why was he standing? He was standing for justice. He was standing to judge. among the gods. When the Bible says gods there, a small g, he is not talking about Madioha. He's not talking about Ogugu. He's not talking about Shongo. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Oh my. Since you are interested in the cable, give me some time to assess the cable. And when your assessment is good enough, we can continue the teaching. So, can we assess the cable? Hallelujah. So he stands in the congregation of the mighty, judges among the gods. The gods there is in small g. The mighty is the same congregation he calls congregation of the gods. And the gods there are men that God has given responsibility to take care of some of his business. See, is it, you might ask, is it theological for us in scripture? Is it, do we have other examples of where humankind were called, referred to as gods? Yes, Jesus said that in the book of Luke chapter 10. He said, if you call them gods unto whom the word of the Lord came and the scriptures cannot be broken. And in Egypt, the Bible says to Moses, God said to Moses, I've made you a god unto Pharaoh. So that's scripture. So he was referring to humankind that he has made in charge of some of his business, given in charge of some of his business. And in order for them to be competent, he gave them his authority to do that business. But unfortunately, the allegation that we see here, because this, the environment of this scripture is actually a court system. This was a court summon. God summoned the gods. The reason why he summoned the gods was because there were reports that got to him that the authority that he gave to the gods to administer his business was not administered consistent with God's style of rulership. Are you with me? You are not with me? Alright. The first point or first count charge in that scripture reveals that these guys decided to partner. You see, when God gives you an anointing, for instance, they are, through the gift of word of knowledge, we can actually know how much money you are carrying in your purse. Right? And if we know how much money you are carrying supernaturally in your purse, and I tell you are carrying 5,000, and you know you didn't tell me, and I also told you that 5,000 you are carrying, come and sow it. I added the sowing aspect. Are you? But I use the gift to know how much you have. Okay? Now, at the end of the day, I stole from you, using the very tools that God gave me to help you. So what happened, the allegation, was that the guys decided to connive with the enemies of the same people that God has sent them to deliver, for which he gave them superior capacity. And he joined forces with their enemies to oppress the same people. That was the report that got back to heaven, for which the gods were summoned. And the gods were summoned because of judgment. One of the things that will make God stand is judgment. In order for God to judge, God first will tell you your crime, so that you can understand that his justice system is equitable. He said, how long will he judge unjustly and consider the persons of the wicked? And accept the presence of the wicked. Then he now told them what they should have done. They should have defended the poor and the fatherless. They should have done justice to the afflicted and needy. They should have delivered the poor and needy and rid them out of the hand of the wicked. It was obvious that these guys were in partnership with the wicked to oppress the same people that God had given them the empowerment to deliver. Then, before the judgment went forth, in verse 5, God now unveils a tutorial, a lecture. He gave them an example of setting gods. certain such men before them, all right, that God gave authority, God gave power, that messed up. And the example he gave here is the example of Adam and Eve. That verse 5 is talking about Adam and Eve. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. What's the meaning of that? Adam and Eve did not understand the gravity of influence that God had committed to them. They did not understand what the consequence of their inaccurate actions would be on the entire creation. In fact, Adam and Eve were the key that was ordained by God to operate the visible creation. And because they rebelled against God, all of creation rebelled against them, to the end that the working principle and the manual foundation there is manual. Every product that the manufacturer makes is supported with a manual that is supposed to be instruction guidelines on how the product should be operated and the kind of potential that the product has and how you can exploit that potential. But for us, for creation, the manual is with the governor, the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? So the rebellion of humankind, the consequence was that the Holy Ghost had to withdraw from this visible creation. He had judged the creation and he had withdrawn. Are you with me? Oh, you are not with me. Let me explain. Maybe somebody there on the street, walking there, that is a conductor in a bus somewhere in Ibadan, is called to be a prophet. But the reason why he is not a prophet is because he's not born again. See, the Holy Ghost is the one that carries the manual. When he gives his life to Christ, the possibility of him knowing what he was ordained to be is in that governor. Are you with me? So when the Holy Ghost withdrew from the visible creation, the consequence was that the purposes of God were no longer in the visible creation because the governor has withdrawn with all the manuals. You get that?
Yes,
mosquito that was supposed to be drawing juice from the nectar of flowers now takes blood when the manual was drawn. Takes blood now. Are you with me? Now, it's when we hook up with the civilization that is in the spirit, then your own manual is downloaded. Because he's that's the personality that was running the purpose of mosquito, the purpose of flies, the purpose of snake, the purpose were all captured in the Holy Ghost. And he was supposed to be the one that will manage this civilization if Adam was in alignment with God. But Adam did not know that his shifting out of alignment was going to make every other thing lose its manual. And when the manual was lost, the lion that was supposed to be a herbivore, oh my, became a danger to humankind. Are you seeing the kind of chaos that took place? He's telling these gods that some other gods failed before. And do you realize, after that failure, it took 4,000 years before Jesus came. So when a god fails, it takes time for even God in his wisdom to orchestrate a plan B. So if you fail in your purpose now, maybe the world will come to an end. There will be no replacement. Because we don't even have time anymore. That's why I won't fail. Because there's no time. It took 4,000 years before God could stage the second Adam under conditions that were impossible. Do you know how fragile the salvation process was? Huh? You know, when we teach people about prayer, we always teach prayer with regard to humankind praying. Alright? And then to the Father who is in heaven. And then an answer comes. But there was such a time in Scripture where it was heaven that prayed for the earth to answer. That was when Jesus fell from the cross the third time. Fell with the cross the third time. Everything that God had been manipulating all this while through Jesus was about to end. Because as a scapegoat, he had to die outside of the walls of Jerusalem. And because of the blood he had lost, he didn't have the physical strength to make it out there. So God was looking for heaven, pray. Everybody stood in heaven.
Yes.
And you know, man is a free moral agent. Are you aware of that? The level of influence that God will have over man is the extent to which we allow it. And here was a time that heaven was stranded. And if Jesus had died there, and there was every possibility he would have died, everything that God was weaving out in the past 30 years would have been wasted. Meanwhile, God could not just get any man to fill in that gap. Because in the, are you with me? There were only three tribes God had to deal with after the fall. Ham, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Are you there? Ham is Africa. Ham are the black people. Ham was the one that looked upon their father's nakedness and got a curse. Oh, you are not with me. I will come again. We have to study. The people in witchcraft, their educational system is advanced. The sirens in the water world, they are advanced, they have educated their people. And there are only two reasons why darkness can conquer light. Only two reasons. It's either that the agents of darkness are more submitted to Satan than we are submitted to God. Or, I have scriptures for all these ones. Or, the agents of darkness are more educated in darkness than we are in light. And that's why the whole ideology of discipleship and capacity building, apostolic training must change. What they prepared us for from the 80s till now cannot match the devil of our time. With all due respect to all the efforts that we received to make us arrive where we are. But we have, that's the reason for new mantles, for fresh mantles. Because God will have to bring us into economies that were not captured within our training and our experience scope. That's the philosophy of the young ancients. I see. Where did I stop? Can one person talk? Just one person. Yes, you say something. That was the digression and the matter. I was somewhere before I went there. What was I talking about? Yes, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Those were the three people that God has to work with after the fall, after the flood. The sons of Shem were the Israelites, representative of the high priest that had sentenced Jesus to death. So God in heaven, even though heaven wanted a man to bail Jesus out, he could not be from the sons of Shem. Are you with me? The sons of Japheth, represented by Pilate, had condemned Jesus to death. So even though God knew that Jesus needed help, he could not come from the sons of Japheth. And there was only one line of men left. The cursed people. The Africans. The black men. So the idea now was how God would stretch his hand to Africa and bring a man to help Jesus. That was the burden of heaven. And in that day, heaven prayed. And they waited for the earth to answer. You know heaven is praying now, waiting for you and me, for Nigeria. That was the burden on God's heart. He has to bring one African out of Africa. And then we now saw a man, Simon the Cyrenian. He came from Libya. Cyrene is Libya. You know that now. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 13. Is it? Alright? So this guy came from Libya. What was a Libyan doing in Israel? Libya. So found a guy in Israel at the time of the Passover. And then suddenly, you know that manipulation that took place there, it was against the man's will. The man was not, he didn't know the politics of the land, and he did not want to be involved. But the Roman soldiers co-opted him against his will, and that was the only tribe, the only race of men that was eligible for that kind of help. Thereby, setting up a prophetic pattern that the last gospel will be preached by the black man. They are the ones that will take the message of the cross outside of the city. That's the missionary calling upon Africa. And God, again, and heaven is waiting for Nigeria to answer. Hallelujah. I don't know how I got there, but where I was the tutorial that God gave Adam and Eve concerning, was given these gods about the first god, how they missed it, and the consequences. And when he had laid the tutorial down, then the next thing was the judgment. Now, I'd like us to look at the judgment. What question are we answering? Adam, where? Adam. Let's check the judgment. Hallelujah. First judgment. The way God did the judgment was that he will tell you the purpose, what I wanted to achieve with you, and then before he releases the judgment, what I wanted to achieve with you, then he releases the judgment. That's how judgment is going to be in heaven. Jesus will come and tell you, this is what I wanted to achieve with you. But this is going to be the result, even though I wanted to achieve this. May you find what Jesus wants to achieve with you.
Amen.
May you not find out at the judgment seat of Christ that actually you were supposed to be a prophet to Namibia. See, this darkness that Namibia experienced was because you were out of alignment with my creation pattern. You went to the University of Ibadan and became a creature. It's strange. Let me not. All right, are you seeing me? All right, he said, I have said ye are gods. That's the intent. And all of you children of the Most High God. That means you are gods, small g. And in the expression of your godness, you are going to be under the authority of the ultimate. As children of what? The Most High. So you will learn how to manifest on earth by looking at how I am manifesting in heaven. The Bible says, as he is in heaven, is a reference. So, he didn't say, as we are on earth, so is he. The Bible says, as he is in heaven, so are we in this world. So, we are supposed to draw our reference from the way he is. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall, this is the judgment now, ye shall die like men. That's the first. And then ye shall fall like one of the princes. So there were two things there in the judgment. The first thing is to die like men. Meanwhile, they were called, I've said, ye are gods. And children of the Most High God. The judgment now is you will die like men. You will be measured into time. Second thing that wasn't very visible from Eden was he will fall like one of the princes. So Adam actually had a throne in the spirit realm that was the basis of his authority in the natural. You're not with me. Oh, a good example of that is Moses. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 33, we're going to look at that subsequently. Moses, the Bible says he was king in Jeshurun. Moses was the first king of Israel. But he had a spiritual throne that was responsible for what he was doing and how he parted the sea. All those things came from his spiritual designation. But he had no physical throne in the earth where he sat as king. He functioned as a king by the designation of his throne in the spirit. So the Bible says he shall fall like one of the princes. Apart from the fact that you are a pilgrim in this world, your true structure and status is your rank in the kind of throne you occupy. The evidence, are you with me?
Yeah.
The evidence that you have found a throne, that you have been designated to, is that there is a constant, a consistent anointing on your life. Because on the day of Pentecost, Peter's explanation of what took place on the day of Pentecost was that Jesus that you crucified, right now, he has been in heaven, he has been coronated, he has gone through coronation, and two titles have been committed to him. He is now Lord and Christ. And the evidence that he has mounted the throne of the Christ in the heavens is the outpouring that we see upon the face of the earth here. Are you with me? So if we have a spirit on earth, it's a proof of a throne in heaven. And the grace of God on your life is a concentrated presence of the Spirit of God. It's a sign that you are actually operating from a throne in the spirit realm. You get that? So the Bible says that ye have fallen like one of the princes. So Adam had a throne in the spirit realm. That was where he met God in the spirit. And he fell from that throne. That's why God came to the garden to ask him, where are you? So, we need to ask ourselves right now that question. Please help me ask your neighbor. The last time, are you still there? Are you still a prince? Where are you? Alright, we can now go to Matthew chapter 5. This scripture has opened us up to Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, the Bible says, after 6 days, the question is, why did Jesus wait for 6 days? In order for us to know why it had to take 6 days, we need to go to Matthew chapter 16 and see where the discussion ended. What was the subject that Jesus held in Matthew chapter 16 in his last discussions there? It might give us an idea of why it took 6 days. Matthew 16 verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in his glory, in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. Verily I say unto you, there are some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus began to attempt to unveil to his disciples that he was a colossus, that he existed before he was born. That was difficult for them to understand because they saw him as Jesus of Nazareth. They knew his village and probably knew the day he was born. And it was difficult for them to comprehend the fact that Jesus existed before that birth. He said, well, all you guys are slaves of mortality. But the day will come, you will see the Son of Man coming down with glory. And his angels are coming with him. I don't think he prospered much with that teaching. Because they could not see him beyond. Yes, they could. They saw that he was supernatural, but what he was saying actually revealed that he was God. So it's difficult to accept that, especially for a Jew. It was during this time that Jesus prayed that God should clothe him with the glory that he had in the beginning, during this time when he was giving this teaching. So, are you with me? So it took 3 days, 6 days after the prayer for him to take a few people to the Mount of Transfiguration so that he could show them who he really was. You know, one of the things that John had to be corrected of when he got to the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation, his revelation of Jesus was Jesus of Nazareth. And with the revelation of Jesus of Nazareth, he could not do ministry beyond where he was. So Jesus had to encounter him and introduce himself to him. Not as Jesus of Nazareth, but as the Alpha Omega. His next phase of ministry that is captured in the book of Genesis chapter 1 from verse 18 and 19, which is a ministry that captures prophetic writing, compromising the past with the present and the future. That grace to write like that came from that revelation he contacted. So one of the things God does sometimes is that he uses encounters to disabuse wrong, false philosophies that you have captured along the way. He sponsors encounters to disabuse them. Because if you don't have an accurate picture of God, you cannot grow in his kingdom. So, he was trying to tell them about the fact that he is an immortal. Well, it was difficult for them to comprehend. It was around that time Jesus prayed that prayer. Okay, clothe me. At least let a few people know. Then after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. Now, this is the garment, the prayer. God is answering that prayer now. Are you with me? You are not with me. It's all right. You guys think I'm kind based. Come. Let me show you who I am. This one, I cannot do it on a crusade ground. I cannot do it in the market square. But I just need witnesses. I need three of you. Come. Took them to a hammer. He didn't tell them why they were going, where they were going. Didn't tell them when they were arrived at the place designated. But when they got to a high mountain, so you will notice that God, the Father, had given him an instruction as to the location he needs to go before his prayer would be answered. So he got those insights, and then he called some other people to come and witness. And then when he went to the high mountain, he began to transform gradually. The kind of experience that Moses had. You see, the Bible says, Moses was the one that prophesied, that a day will come where God will raise a prophet like unto me. And the significance, you need to know that Moses was the epitome of a prophet, as far as a Jew is concerned, the epitome of a prophet. And if we are saying God is raising a prophet like unto Moses, and there was one significant thing about Moses, Moses' face glowed with glory, then that prophet must glow. If that prophet does not glow, that prophet is not Moses. So he took them to the mountain. And the Bible says he began to transfigure before them. It happened slow motion. So that they will have the evidence of, they will know that something happened from within outside. What he was within began to swallow his mortality. Now I'd like us to read that. That's a clothing. We are talking about mantles. You will find out that for every supernatural thing God wants to accomplish in your life, what it does is that it releases a mantle that carries that ability. We are supposed to wear things. So. When you see a very good Ifa priest, he wears things. Yeah. You see, those things he's wearing are the things that give him the abilities he carries around. Those things are actually, they are not mobile. They are not mobile things, but they are stationary. But when he wears them, he can carry them. You need to wear things. You are too naked. You are naked. Right? You are naked. You need to, if you don't, see, oh my. Go and pretend. Okay. The way, when we came the other day, my sister was prophesying. Go and pretend and prophesy somewhere. There is something she wore that time. When we're driving in with the vehicle, we're driving in from Lagos, so we put one praise and worship. Some Americans were worshiping and praising, and then one of the praise worship leaders began to prophesy that I, the Lord, and I told him, this one is not prophecy. This did not come from God. See, I was clothed so I could discern that. I said, change this tape, change the tape. Change the tape. He was not professing. The person would have just spoken by himself and said, God will lift you, God will do. When he now added, I the Lord, I knew the frequency the person was operating in. That frequency is not the frequency of clothing. It's not everything we have been around, though. I changed that tape. That's a fake. He said, a fake tape. You have the liberty to say those things by yourself. It will still be ministry. But if you are going to prophesy, there's a clothing that brings it. If you don't have the clothing, don't masquerade, even if you are doing praise and worship. The other day, somebody saw that a particular sister was prophesying accurately and people were respecting her because of the gifts. When you are clothed, people will come. That's how it happened. That's how God designed it. So this sister was now wanted to also be accorded that kind of respect. And then one day they were worshiping. Then she broke into the worship, spoke in tongues. And they said, my people, everybody now was willing to hear. I'm your miss. Don't be afraid, because even me myself, I'm afraid sometimes. God afraid. God afraid. She had to leave that church because when you have God afraid. Even me myself, I'm afraid of. God will help us in Jesus' name. The Bible says that reality happened in slow motion. Notice that when the reality began to happen, the Bible says that, we need another translation to help us. God gave us the opportunity of that scripture to actually see the way God clothes us. And the effect, you still see the effect of that clothing. Do we have any other translation in the house, please? Yes, what do you have? Okay, can you give him a wireless microphone? Hallelujah. Let's receive his reading. Don't be afraid, because even me myself, I'm afraid sometimes. I come and steal that kind of thing. The only way to respond is to speak in tongues, because I try to contain it. No. All right, yes, the translation and then the reading. You read just verse 2.
All right, sir.
Okay.
And was transfigured before them.
Okay.
PTV.
Okay.
And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now, Amplify,
all right.
And his appearance underwent a change in their presence.
His appearance underwent a change
in their presence.
Okay.
And his face shone clear and bright like the sun. And his clothing became as white as light.
His clothing was affected. Everything on him, with him, took on the shape of what was appearing.
Okay. NIV, sir.
That's the, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we read, Paul spoke about mortality being swallowed up by life. That's the experience. Your garments will be overtaken. Life will swallow it. Your hair will be swallowed. Another kind of hair that can survive that climate will appear. And you will not ask, where did the old hair go? It is swallowed. See, once in a while, God allows us to lend, to loan these coverings, these clothing. See, the day Saul prophesied, it was a prophetic mantle that came on him, and there was no record that he prophesied again. He came to the community of prophets, and oh my, there were minstrels with all kinds of instruments. That was where Samuel used to unveil the future of the nation, in those prophetic meetings, as they are playing those instruments and praying. That's when the prophetic lands, and one prophet can prophesy another one. So the prophetic density was so strong that when Saul came there, prophetic mantle came on him. He himself was used as a vocal call. You will notice that it's what came on him that used him. That's where we are trusting God that we migrate to, that we can hold real ecclesiastical services. As we are doing it, angels are dropping, all kinds of things. Even you yourself will not believe what will happen to you. They say it's Saul among the prophets. Yes, next.
Okay, sir. Message, sir.
Message.
His appearance changed from the inside out.
That's the translation I'm looking for. You see, it's the reality that is captured on the inside. It's already there on the inside. But you see, this container has concealed it. So his appearance began to change from the inside out. That which is on the inside began to dominate the outside. See, there are extents of domination. There are dimensions where what you have on the inside will dominate your senses, your physical senses, and then it will blot them out. And then for everything that is blotted out by that reaction, there's a replacement. See, for Jesus, you will notice that his sight, his range of sight increased, and he began to fellowship with Moses and Elijah. Notice that in the reaction that took place, Elijah did not speak to Peter. I've explained the technology. Because there's a gulf between the two. They cannot connect until they have that garment that Jesus has. So they could only relate with Jesus, who was with them but was clothed. But Jesus could relate both with the guys in the flesh and with another world. And that world was as real as the physical world. The garment that was coming up linked him with the dimension in which the Moses were. Because it was not total. The garment did not come totally. If not, Jesus would have vanished. He would have vanished out of the sight of these ones. But he just stayed in the interface. The first time I saw angels, they stayed in the interface. I will see them now, I won't see them again. It took me many years to understand that. The interface, that was where Jesus stood. He began to change from inside out. That's the translation I'm looking for. From inside out. From inside out. So when the reality of this clothing comes upon you, the functional word there is change. My perception will change. My capacity will change. My utterance will change. What I have the ability to do will change. He began to change. And the way Message put it was a process, it was slow motion. From inside out. And then Moses. And what? And Elijah stood there. That is change. Was as if he invoked Elijah and Moses and brought them. Notice that in that particular ecosystem, there was no need for introduction. They knew it was Moses. They knew it was Elijah. My question to you is this. Have you ever had an encounter where you knew it was Joel that came to you? You knew the person. May the Lord deliver us from nakedness. Because the time should come in your encounter where you can identify who came. That is Nehemiah. Oh, okay. Let's leave that. The spirits of just men make perfect. There is an assignment, there's a job they have in your discipleship. You know, it sounds bogus. My intention is not to bring bogus things to you. I'm telling you about real life matters. Don't quickly say yes, sir. A man that is retiring from football has more authority than a man in a viewing center. They have hailed him. He's tired of healing. But the guy that is at the viewing center is away from the action. My intention of bringing that is not to make you think I am deep or to satisfy your curiosity. No, no, no. These are practical. These are real in the spirit. They are mantles you carry. You can. It will draw some people. It's an inheritance that you are getting from them. So the people will have to come and teach you about how that mantle works. I don't know why you shouted like that. But if you have been using the internet and you have seen a prophet like Sadhu, you know Sadhu? Salvaraj. When he prophesies, he will say he can see Moses. That is a mantle that does that. That's not just a prophetic, that's a mantle. Because you can prophesy without seeing Elijah. That's forensic. I don't have time. If we begin to talk about the elders and stakeholders using the book of Zechariah as a reference. I've had some encounters, but you see, the lecture is not about my own encounters, except I can bring my encounter if it will help to explain stuff. I was preaching in my cottage. And for 15 minutes, 15 seconds, I was caught up from the pulpit. I was caught up into heaven. And there was a table, and stakeholders were on the table. And I appeared before them. And they were talking about my city, where I was sent to. And they were talking about a flood that will hit the city. But I noticed they were talking in past tense. Meanwhile, I'm coming from the city and none of the things they have said has happened. And unfortunately for me, I was not given the authority to comment. I was just brought there as an observer. There are several stakeholders whose duty, committee duty in heaven, is Ibadan. Right? In the administration of things in heaven, some of those guys have been delegated to take decisions that will be binding on Ibadan. God has given them the authority. If they sit down, since they have worked with him for long, if they sit down and decide this is how it should be, that is how it will be. I can show you evidence of those kind of committees and councils in heaven. I will show you sometimes, and I will show you people that were called from earth to participate in those committees. Oh, nothing happens here. The fact that a man is known doesn't mean he influences anything. Hey. So I was caught up. And when I got there, they were talking about my city and the flood and all of that. And they explained that the reason why the flood came was because the principality that was governing that side, whose base is somewhere in Cameroon, that principality fell. And the evidence of the fall is that there's going to be a flood. Then I came back. And when I came back, I noticed the people didn't know I left. So I prophesied, there's going to be a flood. Some of you will be in the refugee camp. Have you seen that kind of prophet that way? Some of you will be in the refugee camp. But weep not. The reason why they flood, I gave them. So when I left and went back to Lagos, 2 weeks later, one rain fell. 27 pole wires fell down. They now call me, "Die your prophets." I say, "Oh, it has not come to pass. Because if it comes to pass, you will not be able to call me." It took 1 month, 1 week. And then the dam in Cameroon broke. You heard it on the news now. The people that became refugees were in the highest brow area. You know, the richest people. It was their houses. One of them was just in the parlor watching DSTV. When he ran out, thank God he took the small child and ran out. 45 minutes after, when he was looking at his house, for the roof, they were seeing blue. And indeed, he ended up in the refugee camp. And you know what? When it happened, nobody could call me to tell me that your prophecy, because they were all busy. Are you with me? But in that encounter I had, I could not discern the members on the board. But I know that there's a mantle that if I carry, I can know the people. I heard what they said ahead, but I couldn't discern them. Because I was not carrying the mantle that would have given me the discernment of those perfected spirits. That's how the decisions over cities are taken. It has nothing to do with your governor. He can die in 24 hours. Oh. No. Nothing, there's not no very important thing. The only things that are important to enter are people that are standing for God. People that are giving God the opportunity to enter into territories. That's the only important thing happening on it. Meanwhile, that was a prophecy that made me popular in that city. I prayed for people that God healed. Nobody knew me. But I gave that prophecy. And then the thing now went spread that there one pastor said there is a flood. That serious flood will come. And that the kind of fish they had not seen in Makurdi, people will see it on the street. When it came to pass, the man said, "We need to look for this prophet." That's how politicians started visiting me today. So, what God can do to make you a star, there are too many. If you have the mantle. Your perception will be different. Jesus was able to perceive Moses, Elijah. Communication was on a different level. You know, when you're in the visual environment of a thing, your own walls will never fall to the ground. People that have this kind of experience, no, it will always come to pass. Are you with me? Now, so this was the. Thank you so much. Can you finish the reading? Let's.
All right. His appearance changed from the inside out. Right before their eyes.
Right before their eyes.
Sunlight poured from his face.
Sunlight poured from his face.
His clothes were filled with light.
Mortality was being swallowed by life. However, it was still in the interface. You know, I told you that if the full dose comes, that's what we call rapture. And you will not leave your clothes behind, as the film says. Mortality will swallow it. Life. That immortality will swallow even your beard. It will give way for your spiritual body. Are you with me? All right. So. I know you know what Peter said and all of that, but that's not my emphasis. But the reason why Jesus brought them to the mountain was not so that they would talk, but so that they would know who he is. And this is how every believer is inside. But you take a mantle to bring what you are inside to begin to come outside. You take a mantle for that reaction to take place. You have to be clothed with something that is currently domiciled in the heavens. Are you with me? And there are several abilities that come with clothing. Hallelujah. Now, so he made a foolish statement, which I don't want us to go into. But you see, the person that came to shut him up was God the Father. God the Father rode on a cloud into that arena. And he spoke to Peter, quieted Peter, said, "This one is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. If anybody should be talking here, you hear him." Then instantly, we saw an emotion. They fell down, and then what was their condition? Fear. The same kind of fear that Adam had was their experience here when God came to rebuke them. Why? Because they were not clothed. What did we see that was the result of Adam's fear? It was because of his nakedness. Did you hear that Jesus was afraid there? He was not clothed. So there were two sets of people. Jesus was clothed. He began to interact with another realm. Then this noise man came and was talking on the day he was not supposed to talk. God the Father had to ride on the cloud and spoke through the cloud. Then his state was revealed. He feared. Jesus had to cut short that interaction to come and revive them. Fear not, fear not. When it matters most, when demons rise, you will know whether you are clothed. When trouble, when things threaten you, you will know whether you are clothed. It is a risk for you to move around without being properly dressed. Now, in the next lecture, we are going to look at 1 Kings chapter 19, the mantle of Elijah. When we analyze that mantle, the service is for analysis. Before the next service will now be for how to get a mantle. I will show you all the ways people got mantles. Some paid the price for it, like what he has now. He fetched it from heaven. Me, I didn't fetch my own. Me, I inherited my own. Right? I inherited the mantle. But there's no difference. It's just like Bluetooth. When I send you something from Bluetooth, what you receive and what I have is the same. Right? Okay. So we'll now talk about, but we'll do an analysis of the mantle of Elijah. We'll do an analysis of that because the spirit of Elijah is going to come in this last days. So that's why we chose Elijah as the prototype to look upon. There are many, many people, strange scriptures that we can delve into. But Elijah is a good reference because these are the days where the spirit of Elijah will come upon the face of the earth. So we'll do some stuff in 1 Kings chapter 19, and then we'll do an analysis of the mantle of Elijah. Before I sit down, I have 15 more minutes to sit. No, not 15. We have 15 more minutes to close. I have 7 more minutes to talk, so that Pastor can take care of the administrative procedures in shutting down the event for this morning. Now, you may wish to, if you have a question, you may wish to write it down. I will take just 2 questions. Write it down and let us have it. If I know the answer, I will answer you. If I don't know the answer, I will tell you. Because there's no guarantee that I know everything. So I'm not so proud as to tell you that it's not everything I know. Okay? And if I get to where I'm defective, I will say, well, maybe I will hand over to Pastor or to my sister to support. So just 2 questions, you can write it out. Real questions. Don't create one because I'm saying it. No, you will just be wasting time. Okay? You write a question. Maybe if the thing has been there before you came here, that's the type I like. So it means the answer will be solving a problem that is already a burden. Don't create one. It will be too weak for it to be worthy of answering. So when you have written it out, pass it across to the usher. Then I'll pick 2 questions And we'll do that for 7 minutes. And then Pastor will take over. If we don't do effective capacity building and we release the mantles, we are called to release such things actually. It's part of our calling. If we start releasing it, you will waste it. In 2 weeks' time, we won't see the result of your coming. So we need to train you adequately so that you know how to. And when it comes, as you will find out in subsequent lectures, it comes in a seed form. There are a lot of things that mantles will change you. Don't be quick to desire one. I say you want my mantle, sister. All right. Yes, let me have them. We'll find the questions that are worthy of answering. Because in my experience, yes, we need to. In my experience, people just like to okay. All right, so we have 2 questions already. 2 vetted questions. These ones, they don't need to ask. These ones are not, they are not having enough stature to be questions in this conference. In my experience, I've seen that people just take advantage of those moments to probably show that they know something somewhere, and you know, we have this knowledge, how can you? And then you see their hearts from what they are asking. And then you now have pity on them. They become a prayer point. To avoid those kind of prayer points, I've casted them down. Alright, we have 1 question here. No? I have 2 already. Okay, let's see what you have. So that they will not say I'm dodging their question. If it's worthy of being a question. If it's worthy of being a question, we will know. Okay, this one is asking, it says, when Jesus was baptized, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." On the Mount of Transfiguration, he said the same thing and then added, "Hear ye him." Right? Even though I don't understand what he's asking anyway, obviously, trying to show that he has read the scriptures enough to notice that. But his presentation makes a little sense. What happened in Jesus' baptismal service was that's what we call accreditation. That's when his ministry actually started. Accreditation. Okay? So he did not add "hear ye him" there. It was an accreditation. This is the man, this is my man. Because if he did not do that, are you with me? I don't want to start another Bible study. If he did not do that, Muhammad would have claimed to be Jesus, the expected Messiah, which is what they tried to do, right? But unfortunately, God the Father had to do the accreditation so that nobody will wake up and say, "I am the promised." So that's an accreditation. This other manifestation on the Mount of Transfiguration was a little bit more than accreditation. He was already accredited. And at this point in time, Jesus was beginning to unveil the perspective of the kingdom, the realities of the kingdom. He was already calling men to salvation at this time. So what the Father did when he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him," is that if you hear the voice of Jesus, you will know what God is doing in his kingdom that he intends to implement upon the face of the earth. He was calling all nations, all generations to come hear Jesus. Right? That's the only way you can be accurate. And I assure you, those of us in the congregation, I assure you, over 90% of us have not taken time to deliberately study everything that is in red, everything that Jesus said. And so once again, the Father is still saying, hear ye him. Somebody is asking, this person was a good student of this lecture, because he's asking a question I was expecting that somebody would ask. Because you ask, anybody, whoever you are, I'm going to teach more because of this question. He said, is clothing the same as anointing? See, what happens here? Meanwhile, what is anointing? The word anoint means to smear, just like you use cream on your body and then you begin to smell like the cream. The cream that is on your body that is smelling, but nobody can see the cream. So it is that how you are. So God smears upon you a part of his glory so that you can carry his glory. However, the difference between an anointing and a mantle is this. That mantle is dipped in that anointing. It's dipped inside. It's wet before it is placed on you. That one becomes a part of you. A part of your configuration. Whereas you walk in an anointing to be lifted, because you are not anointed 24 hours. But a mantle is an inheritance. Becomes a part of you. Anytime your spirit realities are ignited, that thing will begin to speak. So it's a part of you. It's like God gives you his own an immortal garment. It has strange abilities, frankincense and all kinds of things, and sweet calamus is on it, and it is given to you. And it basks with the fragrance of these dimensions. I said there's practical. We can't do only theory. The practical session, just don't be in a hurry. There's a practical session attached to the lecture. And then the final Sunday meeting, the impartation for the receipt of mantles, that one will be carried out. But at that time, you will know the responsibility that comes upon you when God gives you a mantle. So I prefer a mantle than an anointing. Meanwhile, God will never give you a mantle if you don't have the character to sustain it. But a man can be anointed and be a fornicator. You cannot maintain a mantle if you don't have the statutory character. The discipline that has constituted the nature of God as your own natural default mode. Those are the pillars and the infrastructure you need to put in place to be able to hold a mantle. And then it becomes a blessing to you. If not, if a wrong man has a mantle, that mantle will be the basis of his judgment. The mantle, if a correct mantle is on a wrong man, that mantle will expose him. Yes, and when people can no longer trust him, the mantle will be withdrawn. One of the highest things God gives is mantles. It will cause attraction. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not very handsome. I'm not too handsome. All right? It's not about. But, oh my God. I know when the mantle came, it attracts. I know it's not my look. Something I wear. Hallelujah. But you see, the mantle won't do everything for you if you have a bad character and you cannot interface. That one is your business. There are several people you meet and you don't want to leave them. You are looking for how to. So God, the kingdom of God profits more when your character has been worked on. And then it becomes beautiful. Okay? It becomes so beautiful. All the things you are praying for will come through mantles. It will come through mantles. Yes, I'm a public servant, as I've said earlier. If you come to my house, you find so many people. That's how I live. I live with the community. That's the example I had for my earthly father. Sometimes we were 22. He goes to every compound in the village. He takes one person to train. Yes. So the reason why I know my village people now is because their children grew up in my house. We went to the same schools, ate the same food, and all of that. So that's my father's house. And of all my dad's children, I'm the only one that is doing that thing. Not because I'm trying to copy him. It was part of my calling. Okay? And I have my earthly father as an example. So it's easy. So at some point, my salary could not train everybody, because my father trained everybody. Train everybody, feed everybody, and then do all the things we need to do, and then the ministry obligations. And so what God did is I dropped a mantle. You will notice that the level of impact you can achieve with a mantle is much more than an anointing. And then people are willing to give themselves to you because of a mantle. They are willing. They give themselves. So somebody that is giving himself to you will also give his money. That is a list of stuff. Mantle. You need to have been dealt with for you to handle it. Because you will now see how much influence you will have. Sometimes it's intimidating. Sometimes you need to go back to God and ask him, okay, at this level now, how do we operate well? Yes, because recently in that our own small place, politicians come to visit me. The last person that came was a commissioner of commerce and stuff. He's a professor of business administration. So he came to visit me. He told me that he's hearing rumor that they want to shake the cabinet. That's why he came home. I said, well, you are not going to be changed anyway. You will not be changed. But when my word comes to pass, come back. So 2 weeks later, they did the reshufflement. It was retained. It took how many yams? 30 tubers of yams, one chicken, and I know you like that one. That's why I said it. So I don't farm yam, but every time you see yam there, and all kinds of stuff, and things like that. And so the mantle has gone a long way. It has gone a long way. But you see, the burden is much more than that thing I told you. The burden. You can't sleep with it. It will wake you up. If you marry the wrong wife with a mantle, your marriage will break. She can't endure that level of sacrifice that you're going to be engaged. A mantle will consume you. Oh, you know how Elijah. Who will marry Elijah? So, if God knows that you are up in line to inherit a mantle, your wife is specially chosen. No. Among 100 women, not 97 cannot endure you. They don't have what it takes. In 1,000, maybe 3. Some men will become like iron, and you cannot cope with them if you are plastic. Like that. The mantle will make you so focused on the Lord. Oh, it's not natural. That level of focus and that level of obedience. If God says this, Isaac, this one. You can't live with a man like that. If God has not, if he did not call you from your mother's womb, begin to work on you, pass you through suffering, for you to suffer very well. Then, when you meet such a man, you can cope. Some of the suffering you are going through as sisters, it is because I went to preach in Ogbomosho, one lady came. And I don't know if she's here. I don't want to say it. Are you here? The lady that they took your laptop and your phone. Are you here? Okay. Because she's not here. I cannot talk. Now, they stole her laptop, stole her phone, and she was on the way trying to come for that meeting. Then, the protocol didn't allow anybody to touch me. You know, have, you know, protocol. The lady now cried. Well, it's not as if many of them were not crying, but this one's cry, I heard it inside. So I stopped. It means that God was crying through her voice. So I caught her. She fell down. When she came, she fell down. I couldn't talk. I was just crying. I said, what brings all this kind of sorrow? I was trying to use my anointing to check what was making her cry. I could not see it. God kept it from me. I said, okay. Then she cried small. And I said, when she was coming here, they stole her phone, stole her laptop. The thing touched me. Then I saw her future. But I did not tell her. But that lady is going to get married to somebody that will become a governor. Yes. The level of influence she's going to wield is going to be because of marriage. So I just saw that. I didn't tell her. I said, if you see what I see now, you will stop crying. You will stop crying. Then she now got a phone. I gave her my number. I said, when you get a phone, send me a text. She now said, Pastor, if you know the kind of pressure I'm passing through now, financially, this. She doesn't know that is the way to become a duchess of a great man. Don't. May the Lord give you understanding. Hey, you need to be a special kind of woman. Okay. You know now, for the past 7 years, I've been apart from my family. So if I married my wife for sex, for instance, in the last 7 years, I'm a bad husband. That's the meaning. Meanwhile, that's the motivation for most of your relationship. Methuselah had the same kind of motivation. When we begin to bring purpose on the table, you are going to see that the only way it can be fulfilled is through sacrifice. And a mantle has marked you for sacrifice. If God is angry, if God is crying and is looking for somebody to cry with him, it's those mantled men, he will wake them. Then he will cry, you will hear his cry, and suddenly you start crying. And he may cry like that for 3 hours and not tell you why he's crying. You are just crying for 3 hours. Then when after 3 hours of crying, he will go. Then you go and sleep. So all the cry you did, you don't know why. You will pay a price for it. You finish fasting and you want to break the fast, and then somebody now sings a song. You are highly lifted up, awesome God. And then the appetite of that food dies. It's because of what you are carrying. Because of what they carry, they see things that normal people don't see, and they carry bodies. They are secrets they keep. Meanwhile, that person was a normal person running around like every young man, every young woman. Then they now say, the shrine has chosen you. After the coronation, that person is no longer that person the parents gave birth to. The mantle
will change you.
Moses
will come and visit you
because of what you are carrying.
Elijah
will come to you for. Let me close. What can you do if you feel you have lost a throne and you feel you are naked and you can't do what you used to do before because of a mistake? That's why you are here. With God there is mercy, and with Him there is plenteous redemption. I assure you by God that before, after Sunday service, you will have more than what you lost.
Amen.
It's not because of you. It's because some people here have paid a price to secure favor with God. That's what I'm saying. It's a guarantee. You will go with much more than what you lost. You see, time will fail us to tell you some of the suffering. And the purpose of this kind of apostolic lecture is to ensure that you don't suffer unnecessarily. You will suffer, but not unnecessarily. There's a good kind of suffering. The type you suffer and the Holy Ghost is with you. It's other people that will say, I can't pass through this, but they don't know the secret, that you are not the one bearing it. The Holy Ghost is bearing it for you. And you don't even know how you survive several things, because don't go alone in life, alright? Let the Holy Spirit carry the load. It will be easier. Have you ever been hungry on campus without food, no garri, nothing, but you were full of the Holy Spirit and there was a strong assurance in your spirit man? You were not worried. You were filled, that's why. And before that day will end, you will eat and the normal things that human being needs to cook. It will come. I assure you, you will leave this conference with much more than you lost. Some of us here have paid the price to find favor with God. On the strength of that favor, you will come out of where you are. In the name of Jesus Christ. A mantle is transferable. Can be transferred from one generation to the other. One of the greatest setbacks we have in the body of Christ is that Idahosa's mantle was not transferred. Because you notice that when John the Baptist received Elijah's mantle, the mantle has its own educational system. The mantle will begin to educate you to become the kind of person that can retain it. We're going to look at that this evening. It's a long educational system. At the end of the educational system, you will notice that John the Baptist began to dress like Elijah, even though he never saw Elijah. You will notice that John the Baptist's diet changed. There were so many delicacies he could have found in the desert. His location even changed. I went to that place in Israel where they trained them. And it's a 2-year training. Because they felt that Judaism was dying. Because people were no longer faithful to the Torah. So some people separated themselves from the normal congregation and came into the wilderness to study the Torah and to be functionaries for the Torah, to teach it, to educate people. That was where John the Baptist was. On the day of their graduation, they were supposed to take an oath. There was only one person missing. His name was John the Baptist, because God encountered him a night before their coronation. And that was when he began to release words from the wilderness. Historical perspective actually captures that John the Baptist went into that wilderness at the age of 6, left his parents, and was there till 30. He was in the wilderness for 24 years. When that guy came and prophesied, you know his voice was not bought. He was piping from another place. Even though there was a lot of politics and all of that, they had to put him in prison. The day the king wants to be accurate, he will go and hear his prophecy in the dungeon. There are several things that the devil cannot defeat. We will need all the arsenals that heaven has to offer for us to defeat darkness in this time. And that's why we are focusing on fresh mantles. What we are saying is, there are technologies captured in terms of mantles that nobody ever carried, that we cannot make a reference to, say, the mantle of Elijah. There was nobody that carried it. God created some mantles for this time. They are called fresh mantles. But I will show you the burden of holding onto a mantle. Just like I said, number one, it will give you what? An educational system. We will go into that this evening. That's what we'll be doing. Then we'll look at a few scriptures. Probably look at one or two things. Then today is what? Friday. Okay. Tomorrow? Today. Okay, we still have an evening service. I almost had heart attack. We have to finish. We have to. Glory to God. So we'll do that 6 o'clock trick, 6:30 trick. Wake up early. You get moved down here. And we'll continue our stuff. By the time we'll be finished, the election should have if there's an election, we should have subsided and there'll be free movement again so that we can build. I want to fulfill my own quota in the conference. And then from Saturday evening, we'll do practicals. So after we pray, then when the team begins to work, I begin to teach you with the team, with demonstrations of how the team works. You will see it's working. What the kind of things it can inspire you to do. That's, I'm talking about the small one I have. Then you will be entitled to ask God for it. We are called to give the body of Christ this kind of things. It's part of our calling. Right? Having known how to nurture it, you will not waste it, I know. But everything you are looking for, all these uncertainties, people, it will come from it. If you can tend it, nurture it, and grow it, your kindred will call you blessed. Last year, I was invited to our church in the village to preach. Meanwhile, it's against the constitution for them to invite a Pentecostal. So they invited, I don't know by what arrangement I was invited. So when I came, the elders were sitting down, so I now greeted them. None of them answered. I did like this. I was the only one doing like this. I just kept my hand back. Because it's an offense for an elder not to be in gravity. There should be no excitement. That's how you be an elder. So that you can watch and pray. Hallelujah. So began the meeting. Three of the elders were deaf. Three of them started hearing. My uncle that never attended Orthodox Church, that is, how will I put it? He's a Catholic. He has never left Catholic to non-Catholic before. So for that day, because his son was preaching, he's the eldest in the family now, since my father is no more. So he came to watch his son with one of his deaf ears. And while I was preaching, he started hearing. That's how I gave what I call, he gave his life to Christ. My auntie that was, it would have been Rome, she would have grown up. Because chaplets, Jesus, Kaplan, they have all time. That's the day she gave her life to Christ. When I came the next day and I did like this to the elders, and I did like this. That was not all. I came on Saturday morning and I saw someone in the congregation that was going to die in 14 days. You know, I was supposed to die at 13. So I know death. I know it. So I saw death. It's all right. I prayed and I commanded them to go. The lady fell down. And then this black went down. It was only white. Like that. So I now called the elder and I said, come. This is how death. This is the effect. So I was teaching the elders. Eh? They did like this. Then I casted it out. She became. The elder looked. I did like this. I didn't disrespect them. I didn't speak in tongues in their microphone. If I wanted to speak in tongues, I say, guess what? They invited me again this year. You will not know what happened before. Do you know that God will take the revival to the Orthodox churches? A time will even come where we train people and send them to infiltrate places. So that all grounds can be restored. But you need a mantle. God bless you.